Hey, 80s flicks, if you could stop making me think about She's All That when I watch you, I'd really appreciate it. It's not a good movie. Jamie?
Yeah?
Let's go watch Some Kind of Wonderful. Everybody, welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. We're an 80s movie podcast where every 2 weeks we watch a different movie from the 80s and then we talk about that movie. My name's Doug McCambridge. Mm-hmm. I'm one of your two hosts, and with me, as always, is Jamie Lorello. Jamie, how are you?
Yeah, I'm some kind of wonderful today.
I was going to say, if you did not have those headphones on, I'm sure I would see very, very expensive diamond earrings.
Oh, so expensive. College tuition. Diamond earrings. Diamond earrings.
I don't know how many years he'd been working or what he's been paid.
They were bonds that were increasing in value.
And man, you're just flushing that money down the toilet. Your
right?
First date with this girl? You're going to buy those for her?
And no wonder that was so... Listen, I don't want to spoil anything for people that haven't seen this movie.
Yeah.
But the way...
Jamie, our whole podcast is spoiling the movie.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I guess if you have not seen it, stop right now. Jamie's about to say some pretty crazy stuff. Go back, watch Some Kind of Wonderful, and then jump in, I guess.
And then get ready. Because so when at the end, he takes her on this sweet date. And
yeah.
Part of it's kind of sweet, right? They get to go to this fancy restaurant. They bond a little over fight, whatever.
What's going on start to finish on that date. Because at first I'm like, so he's just doing this to get back at her, right? Like, he's making her feel like a piece of trash with all this caviar. And then half the time I'm like... No, this seems sincere. Wait,
but
why
then he's nice
settle
to
this
her.
Up?
Yeah, I know.
Very
yeah,
confused.
He like tries to be a jerk, but then he's not because he's really a nice guy.
Right.
But their date, but then they go into the museum. Like, part of their date is like, oh, this is kind of a cute little first date. Until he brings her to the room where there's a giant portrait of her. And she stays. She's not a...
Head for the hills, Leah Thompson. You are in a darkened museum after hours with this guy who painted a full-length portrait of you.
I would be so creeped out.
He
on diamond earrings because you liked wearing them.
Yeah.
And he has very bad social skills. You point that out to him.
A half hour earlier at the restaurant, he called you a rich bitch or something. Like, what you need to get out of this?
Well, we know later she does. She's like, I think that little weird short-haired pixie girl is your soulmate. Yeah.
He's best friends with a neo-Nazi or something.
Yeah.
Get away from this kid.
She makes the right choice in the end. She does it nicely. But yeah, there's...
She does. I do. I have to say, there were a lot of... I think one time I referred to movies like this as having twists and turns, and you laughed for a good 5 minutes straight. But I do like some of the resolutions. And Leah Thompson's, you know what?
I don't need
a guy. I'm good on my own for a while. I really did enjoy that. And I'm not saying it made up for things that weren't great at the end, but
I did enjoy it. Yeah.
I kind of loved the party. Like, the party start to finish, I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when what's his name? The names in this movie also are crazy.
Oh, yeah. It took me through half of it to get...
Dutch?
Is that Dutch, her boyfriend?
Hardy? No, Dutch is the skinhead.
Okay. That's the bully guy. Okay.
Hardy is her boyfriend. The
Hardy?
Creep.
Hardy?
Yeah, Hardy, like the restaurant, like the fast food chain. Her name is Watts.
Well, that's Mary Stuart Masterson's name, right? Is Watts, which, yeah.
Yes.
What's his name?
His name is Keith.
Keith, that's right. Do know.
And then, they just name her after a Rolling Stones song just so they can play the Rolling Stones
song.
They
play a couple of versions of it, too.
Versions of
it? Yeah.
Why? And why do we hear such a terrible version before the Rolling Stones?
I know. We should have let out with the Rolling Stone version.
Yeah.
I know.
When they played that, I was like, I guess they didn't have the money for the Stones. And then later you hear the Rolling Stones. I was like, why would you lead with
that? What are we doing with that? Well, because that's the, isn't that the one where forget when they play that song. I don't know. Super cheesy when they do. Super cheesy.
Oh, it's...
And she doesn't seem like the kind of girl you're going to write a song about. I'm just going to say it. She's very sweet, Leia Thompson, or Amanda. But she's not the kind of girl you're singing songs about, I don't think. But then again, I don't like Eric Stoltz, so who am I? I'm probably outside of the common opinion, and that's fine.
I think you might be, because the whole time I'm like, Eric Stoltz, like, why are you a nerd? Like, he's a pretty... See, and I would refer to him as a pretty attractive guy, and, you know, he likes art, so nobody talks to him. Like, he seems normal. It's almost like a she's all that syndrome, where wait, what? How is this guy, a loser? You're only a loser because you call yourself a loser, and your sister calls you a loser? Like, that's the only evidence we get of him being a loser in this movie.
Well, and I guess because he's very nice. He's too nice, right? And he goes, I don't know, does he go
is
to
that
the...
A, is that a negative?
Well, because he's not...
too nice.
I don't know. I guess so, because it's those...
I don't know.
And he must be poor. Oh, he must be from the bad side of town, too.
Right, yes.
Now, how that could change things.
I do like when her friend's driving him home, and she's like, where do you live? And Leah Thompson goes, oh, right down the street. I mean... under the bridge from my house.
Yeah, like, under the bridge. He's a troll.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah. Right. He lives with his troll family under the bridge. Hello. Okay, so let's get a little bit into this. We're already in it, but let's get in it. So it's some kind of wonderful. Is it 1987?
Yes,
87.
It is. Yeah.
Okay, it's a John Hughes film.
It is, and that's why it puzzled me. Two reasons why it puzzled me that I had never seen this. First, it's a John Hughes film. Pretty sure I was John Hughes complete. Like, I thought...
You thought you had him all in.
Now, he didn't direct it, he wrote it, but still. And also, 87. And you get 87, 88. That is in my HBO wheelhouse. So I am shocked that I had never seen this movie before. I've seen things like Solar Babies 1,000 times where I have never seen this movie.
I had mistaken this when you first said Some Kind of Wonderful. I thought it was Mr. Wonderful, which was a 1992 movie with Matt Dillon. Not the same movie at all. But in my head, I'm like, oh, it's that Mr. Wonderful movie. And Matt Dillon's going to try to pawn his wife off on other men. And then I got into it and I was like, this isn't that movie at all. I realized I was in the wrong decade. We do a podcast about 80s movies.
I don't know what movie I thought this was, but I was waiting for Robert Downey Jr. to show up. And I'm just watching this going, well, I didn't see his name in the credits, but maybe he'll be here at some point.
He would have made a great limo driver.
Well, if it turned out to be a gay romance at the end of this, it may have salvaged this movie for me. I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, he's in love with his best friend. I get it.
Oh,
I understand that.
Look at this.
But, of course, it's the 80s, so we cannot have a platonic friendship between a guy and a girl.
No.
And that's, I know these are these movies, but it's something that really bothers me about stuff like this. Like, even the TV show Friends, you can't just leave it. They all have
they're
to pair up
friends.
At the end.
No,
like,
there's no need
do we
for the
have
pairing.
To do this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's something that bothers me more and more.
I
like,
can
the
hear
more
it.
I see it, the more I realize, like, every TV show, that's what you do. You start out with two characters, and, oh, maybe they just work together. Maybe they're just friends. But then at some point in the show, in the movie, they have to end up together, and I just don't know why that is. Like,
yeah,
I don't know why.
It's because of the culture. It's because of what we think we've got to do. And you're right, it shouldn't be.
And I also think it's because I'm older and I'm jaded, and had I seen this as a teen, I probably would have been like, yeah, I was rooting for this the whole time, but... Not now, I wasn't.
No, not now, I wasn't either. Even for her, I thought you could do better. And so could he. He needs to go to college.
You hate Eric Stoltz. Right? Well, that's what infuriated me at the end of this. When he gave her those earrings, he's like, I kind of knew you wanted these the whole time. And she's like, really? These earrings for me? Oh, I'm so happy.
Like, suddenly
I just wanted her to go. I wanted her to, like, take them and be like, no, go to college.
Yeah.
Like, great. End it like that. Yep. Fine. If they have to kiss, do it. But end it like that. Not with her deciding to be a girly girl.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah. all I've been missing in my life is a this good man and some diamond earrings.
Yeah. Good man and diamond earrings. Now I can grow my hair out long and be more confident about my body.
We're really beating up on this movie, and I do want to say a lot of this movie I enjoyed.
Okay, so again, leading us through, we're getting to know some of our characters, and we go to...
Well, this was a real Flashdance open for me. He's walking train tracks.
Oh, yeah.
There's funky music. She's drumming and sweating.
We're watching her just drum the beats. He's working on cars and underneath cars, and then, yeah, walking toward the train as the train is coming at him. Leah Thompson's getting it on.
I was not buying Eric Stoltz as a grease monkey. I got to tell you.
No, not at all. I agree. I'm like, I could paint roofs on houses, something like that, but let's...
Sure, yeah.
Or paint houses.
Did you say
paint roofs
on houses?
No.
Is that how you think roofs are put on? Just dip a brush into a bucket of shingles, and they just roll right on. It's great. No, but you're right. And there's a lot of manual labor jobs that I could see Eric Stoltz doing. There was this movie that I saw him in. It was a while ago, and he was older in it, and he played a bartender, and it was one of those things where I was like, Eric Stoltz is a bartender. I am not buying this at all.
No.
Eric Stoltz should have played Soul Man. He would have done a good job.
Oh, I agree. I agree to that. Although it's weird because he's got
job
the red
Eric
hair.
Stoltz needs.
Exactly.
Red hair. He could have just wore a wig. Like, it would have been so much more offensive and crazy.
We've got.
I guarantee you, he
we've got better options
for that.
For you. All right. Soul Man or roof painting. Up to you. Up to you, Eric Stoltz. Our opening is fun. And then we get to meet Keith's family.
Yes.
And a little tiny Candace Cameron.
Oh, my God.
Such a little precocious one, too.
She's
really fun.
She's a precocious child cranked up to 11, this kid. Like, it's insane. And I was so... I don't know. I was so surprised that we only saw her sitting around a dinner table.
Yeah, we didn't see enough of her. She should have barged into his room more.
She should have, but I did like his other
sister,
too.
Yeah, I did, too.
I thought she was fantastic.
She was a lot of fun. I agree. Mm-hmm. She was sassy, but, like, without being too cheesy. Where Candace, you know, she got a little much sometimes. But the family, the mom was kind of funny, because you really only saw her profile, like, at the table. You never really...
I don't know how this character was written, but at one point they're all sitting down to dinner and she's just wearing a bathrobe. Like, what is this? What is this backstory? Does this woman just never leave the house? It's very strange. And I do love, and speaking of outfits in this, and I know it's a thing in the 80s, but I wonder if it's just a thing in movies in the 80s. The amount of sport coats that kids in high school are wearing in this movie is troubling. Like, nobody ever dressed like that, right?
Well, I don't...
Like,
maybe
outside of movies and TV shows.
Not in my high school, but I feel like maybe in some high schools. I want to say more city-bound high schools. How about
that? Okay, so if you're going to the 90210/Buffy the Vampire Slayer high school... / some kind of wonderful high school, you're saying kids might dress
like
this.
I'm saying that.
All right, okay. Because I do know later when he's trying to woo Leah Thompson, he does start wearing a sport jacket.
Yeah, he does. And she doesn't. She pointed out, I've never seen you look like this before.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. He's like, I'm wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I like it when her mom's like, how late are you going to be? And she's like, not late.
Yeah.
I'm going out with this loser.
Well, that's weird, too. She doesn't
early.
Really want to go with him and...
I was so confused by the whole dynamic because I thought she did want to go with him.
And I thought that she thought he was kind of cute and interesting.
Right.
But then I guess we're supposed to, maybe it's the ties to her friends. But then he points out that they're not really her friends. At their fancy dinner.
Did you recognize her friend?
What was she from? I did recognize her, but what was she from? Remind me.
I'll give you one hint. Because at certain points in this movie when people cried, I wanted Chuck Norris to come out and try.
Yes,
and
that's what she... That's true.
In that movie when she's giving it her all and she's breaking down and he's sitting next to her barely with his arm around her going, they're there.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, well, why are you crying? But why are you crying?
Why, your whole family was murdered. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? I like to see her in things, and I was happy to see that she did this movie.
But she was a bitch in it, right? She was one of the bitchy friends.
Yeah, and she was pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good bitch. There you have it. who's the actor that plays the bully?
Elias Koteas?
Yes.
Wait, the bully?
Yeah,
or the
skinhead.
Yeah, Elias Koteas. He was in something else we watched, too.
Yeah, he was.
And I think we had a lot of trouble with the pronunciation of his name, but I think that's what we landed on.
Okay, I'm glad for it.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, he did a great job. Very enjoyable. I like when they were drawing their pictures side by side in detention, and he's, like, carving into the desk, and he rips the desk out.
To show him. Oh, my God. He's so charming in this movie. Late in that fight, and I guarantee you this was not in the script because of the look Leah Thompson gives him, when he puts his head on her shoulder
at the party. I noted that, too.
So great. So great. Oh. I do think that the actors, for as much as you don't like Eric Stoltz, and we both kind of said Leah Thompson was blah.
Oh, but
I think the performances in this movie are what hold it together or elevate it from some of the other teen romance comedies of the time.
No, I'll agree to that. The performances weren't like horrible or stale or cheesy.
No.
There were times when I think the school, I don't know, something was a bit much or off. But overall, the performances
I'm not trying to sway you here. I'm not trying to change your mind.
You're not changing anything. Changing anything. I'm not,
And we're really digging into this. We're not even going through the plot. We're just like, let's dissect this movie.
Yeah, we're choosing and picking what we want to discuss here. Well, because it is you've seen it before, right?
It's by the numbers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's just certain parts of it that are, I do love. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that I'll say about this movie. The positive of this is from, the first 10 minutes, you know what's going to happen. Like beat for beat, you know everything that's going to happen in this movie.
Yeah.
But at no point was I bored because of that.
Mm-mm.
Does that make sense? You know what? I mean, far too often, if I know what's going to happen in a movie, I kind of just tune out and everything. But in this, I was still kind of into it, and it was worth watching.
But I think that speaks to the performances, like you
said. Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. I enjoyed seeing Candace Cameron play with Garbage Pail Kid stickers.
That was really fun. That was a fun little flashback. Yeah.
And this kid's dad, so Keith is a high school senior. I guess they're all high school seniors.
Yeah.
And he has a best friend, Mary Stuart Masterson.
Watts
is her name. And she's kind of punky. She's got, short hair.
She's got some family issues. Because every time, where is her family? We don't know. And she's very elusive. Now, they've been friends, you would think, since like elementary school. But there's no mention ever of like, when your dad went away. Like, he doesn't... He asked for her brothers at one point when he goes to
He's
her
like,
room.
Do your brothers mind that you play drums this loud? And she's like, well, I never thought to ask them. But we don't get detail. It doesn't seem like a good home life, of course.
No, and she's always sort of like, she's kind of cagey about it, which makes me think there's no family there. And she says, the only thing I love are my drums and you. She doesn't even love her family. There's no mom or dad listed in that love list.
Right. And he's a doof. Like, he is a doof because from moment one, I'm like, all right, this girl's clearly into you. How do you not see that? Like, how do you not see that?
What about when she gives him the kissing lesson?
Oh, my God.
And I was like...
Because he's what, like a baby or something? And she's like, oh, 8-year-old boy, I guess you might have to learn how to kiss.
And I wrote it down in my notes, like, kissing lesson? Like, first of all, she makes a lot of bad choices, that Watts, for her.
Oh.
She, besides so driving them on the choices. Date and then watching the whole date go down, that's so she just gets sadder choice. And sadder, she makes other poor choices, like when she volunteers to get him, teach him how to kiss.
Well, so, is that a bad choice by her?
Well, in the end, I guess, because that flashback
comes. I mean, she tricks him into kissing her. I mean, first of all.
Yeah, but then right away she pushes him away and she's like, okay, you're good, you got it, because she's getting right. excited yes. herself about yes. making out.
I don't know. I should have tried to trick people into kissing me more often.
Yeah, you should have been like, I'm a really good making yeah. out teacher. I could teach you to make out.
I didn't know it was this easy, but I guess if your friends are idiots, like Eric Stoltz appears to be in this movie, because he acts like a dummy. She's like, oh, what if she wants to kiss you? He's like, what? Kissing? Is that a thing? What is that? I'm 18. What do you mean?
Yeah. What are you How doing? Am I gonna? I don't know.
Why yeah. do we have to have this scene in this movie?
And then he does get, like, his. That's what I mean by one of the reasons I think his character is supposed to be so like dorky, I guess, or yeah. unpopular, is because he's so nice. Because even when he kisses her and then they stop and she's like, he's like, oh, I mean, I'm sorry, you're good at it, you're real pretty, and like, I don't know, he's just weird. It's just weird.
He's weird and he's awkward, but they don't even do anything. Like, they don't even put glasses on him or something.
Glasses like, would have made him feel
he looks like
more.
A normal person.
Yeah,
like,
or made him like see because he's an artist, so giving him more of an eclectic right. kind of look to him, you know what I mean, dressing him up a little suspenders and something crazy. And again, his personality is that he's just nice. He's not
right, yes,
you know, he's not funky, he's not very funny. She's kind of funny, the Watts, his friend, she's got little one-liners.
But it's just so
here,
funny.
But
like, late in the movie when he's yelling at his dad, and he's like, Dad, didn't you ever notice I'm into art? My best friend's a girl? Those things don't make you popular.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what? Really? That's it? That's yeah. it. That's the only
those
things.
Those are the two things.
You?
I'm into art, and I got a best friend that's a tomboy. That's it. I'm way down on the popularity list.
Way down.
Has he seen Can't Buy Me Love? Does he know how unpopular that guy was?
I think Can't Buy Me Love came out after this. I'm not
no.
sure.
Okay.
You know the director of Can't Buy Me Love watched this movie and went, well, I could probably do this better. Let's do something a little bit different. Maybe we could have the, you know, the sun or something dance to weird tribal music. And, yeah. And we'll figure that out. That'll be great. Make him look dorky. Make him look dorky
yeah,
in this movie.
Give him a dorkier look. We're not dorky enough looking.
Man.
And Amanda Jones isn't sexy enough.
So his dad, so every now and then I guess we'll talk about the plot of this movie, but
yeah, we'll dabble in that.
His dad, the whole thing with this kid's dad is he wants him to go to college.
Yes.
He's obsessed. His dad's so obsessed with this. He has a book. He's like a 70-page book where he looks at it and he's like, co-ed phys ed.
Yeah, he gets very excited about that.
And I was looking at that going, that entire book cannot be about co-ed phys ed. No. Or is that like the selling point of this college? They have it right on the cover of the brochure. It's really crazy. But you can tell that Keith really isn't into college. It's mm-hmm. not his thing. He enjoys mm-hmm. working on cars and just like stalking this girl at school.
And just painting her and doing. Now, he enjoys working on cars, but isn't it, it's Watts that's always driving. She drives like a midget mobile. What's that first car she drives? That's like a clown car. What is it?
I love it. It's green with red doors.
It's so tiny, it, too.
And it then doesn't start sometimes.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah. Like, the whole time I'm like, why doesn't he have a car? Like, why doesn't he
have
a car?
He's the mechanic, but she's the one always driving and the one that...
Yeah.
Because even when they go on their fancy date, she's driving this fancy car. Like, she got it for him. Meanwhile, wouldn't he have gotten it from
them? He said he borrowed it. But again, we don't get any... We don't know who borrowed it or who he borrowed it from or anything like that. But yeah, it's strange. It's just strange. Like, why isn't she working on cars? And why isn't he painting house?
Because she's just drumming.
She's just drumming. And that's her outlet. That's how she lets out her frustration.
That's what she's got to do. That's what she's got to do. He's creepily into her.
Creepily into her.
So he stares at her during, like, when he's with her, drawing her. And
during
then,
library hour or yeah, whatever they have at this high school.
Whatever they have. Then she gets, oh, because she gets a ride from her sleazy boyfriend. And then she gets put in detention for coming late to class or something, or leaving class to go for a little cruise in the neighborhood.
And gym then, class. Yeah, it's the gym teacher. The gym teacher who has such a big role in this movie.
Yeah.
Like that gym and that gym teacher. I thought it was what's her face from Grease. What's her name?
Oh. I can't think of her name right now.
Yeah. But so I looked her up and no, it's another past favorite from this movie. Do you remember in Cobra there was the bad lady who kept making phone calls from payphones?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, it's her.
She's so suspicious.
But in this, she's dressed like she is in Greece. Her hair, she has like this giant afro.
Yeah,
it's really weird looking. But she's great. She's in several scenes.
Yeah, I do like it when she kicks him out of the gym or the ladies' locker room. Oh, P.S. the ladies' locker room scene. I guess that's when Mary Stuart Masterson is supposed to look sexy. But and no, Mary Stuart Masterson, sorry, is not looking sexy. She's wearing like a boy's diaper, it looks like I know they're boxers.
They're just
the
boxers.
Way, the
and
way
the
they
one girl's like, are those boys' underpants that you're wearing? I've never seen a girl wear boys' underwear before. And I don't know, whoever was the continuity supervisor or whoever in this movie, it's crazy because at the end you get a shot of Mary Stuart Masterson sitting there in these giant, like, polka dot boxers. She walks away. The girl behind her is wearing white boxers. Like, they're both wearing men's underwear. And I was like, what? How did this sneak into this movie?
I mean, it's a secret club of boxer wearing babes.
Oh my god! Yeah. Elias Koteas also, he is like a skinhead or something. He's just like a tough guy.
He's
at
like
school.
The bully. Yeah. One of, and there's a whole group of them. They all get so. Yeah. Keith pulls the fire alarm so that he gets sent
so
to
that
detention.
He can
so
get
that
detention
he can,
with.
Yeah.
That scene where he is watching her get in trouble with that. Gym teacher.
Creepy.
That's very creepy.
Creepy, yes.
Because the girls are having gym class, and I guess they're playing tennis. They all have tennis rackets.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting on the bleachers all alone. He walks down the bleachers to listen to their conversation.
Yeah.
He's about 3 feet from them.
That's why he doesn't have any friends. Because he's just like a lurker. You know, that guy that just lurks around. You're like, I don't want to talk to him. It's kind of creepy. That's probably why she was apprehensive.
I'm also confused why Leah Thompson's boyfriend pays him for looking at her.
Oh,
what is
he
that
throws
all about?
Money at
like, what?
I don't know.
He goes to get gas because not only does Eric Stoltz work on cars, I guess he works at a gas station.
Right.
So this jerk pulls up, and this is after the scene where they're sitting in the library and he's staring at her, like drawing pictures of her and everything, and. The jerky guy makes him, you know, changes oil, he honks the horn, and I love how the guy's like, so is this your career? And I'm like, he's a high school student. What kind of question is that? And he goes, here's 10 for the gas and 10 for the look. What? Did you just pay him to look at your girlfriend?
I didn't understand. There was a couple of lines that the jerk boyfriend had that I was like,
God.
Are you tough or are you just... You're just puffy faced. I don't understand.
I also love, and we're jumping around. Guys, watch the movie and then come back and listen. We're not even treating this like a normal episode because I don't know. I'm just having too much fun talking about parts I liked or weird parts. When Elias Koteas, when the teacher comes up to him and he keeps pulls a pack of cigarettes out of his pocket, pulls a bottle of booze out of him, and the whole time he's like, I don't know how that got there.
And then there's like nudie cards that he pulls out. Yeah.
There's a deck of nudie cards. He's like, where'd you get these? And he goes, they were a gift from your wife. And the teacher tries away. He's like, what? What am I getting detention for? What? His performance in this is... It's worth watching just to watch his scenes.
Because
he is having so much fun, apparently.
And he does a great job. He's a likable, tough guy bully.
And I'm glad he wasn't just a creep through the whole thing.
Yes, me too. Yeah, because
like,
when we
Thompson's
first meet him...
boyfriend is creepy enough.
Yeah, we just need the one. Yeah. And when we first meet that character, he's kind of rotten. He's calling Mayor Stuart Masterson a lesbian and making fun of. But then, yeah, slowly through detentions and through I don't know what else, their love of art, because he's carving on the desks, they form a nice little relationship, a friendship, if you will, that really comes in handy. At the
really
end
comes
movie.
In handy because his dad works security.
Oh, apparently. Yep, yes, at the art museum.
At an art museum.
Where he could put this giant display up of, because this is like supposed to be a legitimate art museum, right? That how did his artwork get displayed
right,
in?
Right, yeah. I don't know. His art gets displayed. I just love the fact that he took down some sort of priceless painting to hang up this sack of crap that
and
he
it was
made
so
in
creepy.
Art class.
And she looked tired, like she had bags under her eyes in the picture that he painted. I was like, that's not a very flattering painting, I would say. Right. But of Amanda Jones.
Whatever happened to the guy in the anarchist t-shirt who was really hitting on Watts? What happened to that guy? He just disappeared out of the movie.
That
I was like,
was
this,
so
is, this is the romance I'd want to watch.
That was so crazy. So there comes a point when, because Watts is really into Keith, mm-hmm. she's trying to make him, and he's clueless and just pursuing Amanda Jones. Watts tries to make him jealous by getting this guy to hang out with her.
Yeah.
Or pretend that he is not pretending. He's into her. But is he an idiot? Is that what we're supposed to think?
He's a
moron?
Big dumb dumb idiot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so she's over him. But yeah, I wanted to see more of him. When she gets him to push the car, because the car ran out of gas and he's pushing
their
it.
Their whole thing is hilarious when she's like, hey, when this Keith guy comes over, just pretend you're really into me. It'll be great and everything. Yeah. And the moment Keith walks over, he turns around, he's like, hey, way to go with Amanda Jones, man. She's smoking hot. That's awesome.
He gets a lot of compliments. So Amanda Jones and her skanky boyfriend are kind of, she catches him at one point making out with another girl a couple of times.
Several
making out
times.
With this, yeah. And one
his
of the
excuses are great. I love when he's like, she's my little sister's friend. And, you know, her brother was in a car accident. She's just, you know, all depressed. I'm like, you were just making out with her in front of your girlfriend. I don't know if that's a good excuse.
There's one point when he gets caught and she walks away. And again, creepy McKeith a lot is over there just watching. Remember when he makes eye contact with Leah Thompson and like gives him this like gives her this like wink nod gesture?
That's when he's across the street, mm-hmm. and that's when they break up. And the moment they break up, you see in his eyes, he's like, "Now I have my chance." And he just yells, "Hey, Amanda, I want to talk to you." It's like, why are you there? And also behind him is Watts and that car. And I'm like, did she drive you here?
Yeah.
Did she drive you?
And she's going to stop. Watts
try and
stop.
Score a date. Mm-hmm. That is, folks, if you're out there and you're considering maybe chauffeuring someone you're really into on a date with somebody else, don't do it. It's bad news.
Well, that was his plan. When Watts was like, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to get it? He's like, I'm just going to ask her.
Yeah.
So he does. And because she's in this moment, Amanda Jones is in this moment of desperation where she's angry at her sleazy boyfriend for making out with other girls, she agrees and says yes. And the whole school finds out. Like you said, the bonehead dude that's being set up to everybody, like random people are like, oh,
but
yeah,
it's such
hey,
a weird thing because she's like, yeah, let's go out. That's fine. And I kind of thought it's not like in our lost episode, License to Drive, where she's really, really wasted and he asked her out and she says yes. And she's not in her own right mind. And, you know, it's not even like that. It's just kind of like, all right, so you know what? You said you'd go out with him. You go out with him one time. That's it.
Well, she does it to get back at her boyfriend, right? No, but she doesn't keep going out, right? Isn't this the first time? Is there a
big date? That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, just keep the date. Like, is it really that big a deal? Is he such a social outcast at this school where she can't go out with him one time?
Well, he's into art, and he has that tomboy friend. So
you're right. Yeah.
And he works at the gas station.
Gas station. You're right. Nope.
He's got an old-timey gas station, too. Well, I guess not that old-timey. I don't know if I'm dating us, but like they check the oil.
Where the bell rings when somebody pulls up. Okay. He travels back in time to go work at his gas station. Oh my God, it's great. And I love how his sister even knows. Like his little sister even knows.
Well, yeah,
because
she must be like a freshman in high school, I'm assuming.
Right, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is funny because after he gets his date with her, they're all sitting around dinner and his entire family's staring at him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's smiling.
Smiling.
Like it is a crazy reaction where this kid for his entire life has never had a moment of happiness.
Of just joy and sitting there with a smile. I will say that the dinner scene, I just enjoy sometimes an 80s movie mm-hmm. dinner scene, family dinner.
Yeah.
Where they're like mm-hmm. drinking their milk and scraping right. their forks on their plates. And, but yeah, he is just happy because he scored this date. And the dad's like, what the hell's wrong with you? What are you smiling for? Are you thinking about college?
Are you thinking about co-ed phys ed? Because I am. I've been thinking about it since that brochure showed up, son.
That 250-page brochure.
Phys ed. Co-ed phys ed. We had co-ed phys ed at our college. It was not that exciting.
It wasn't advertised.
No,
at least I don't think.
I played badminton alongside girls. It wasn't great.
It was insane. It was insane. I didn't take badminton with you, did I? No.
No.
But I did take badminton.
So she agrees to go with him on this date, and it's the whole crux of this movie where he's like, I'm so in love with this girl. I've been in love with her since, at least he didn't say something like I've been in love with her since second grade. Like that would have been ultra creepy.
Yeah.
That never comes up.
No, you don't know how long they know each other.
No, you have no idea.
Yeah.
And the whole time his friend Watts is like, you know, she's just a preppy rich bitch jerk and you know, why do you even like her? You should like someone who's maybe closer to you all the time and maybe has a shorter haircut or something. Like, she's doing everything but saying she's madly in love with him.
It's so obvious. There's one point where she decides that she doesn't want to hang out with him anymore, that it's better mm-hmm. for them not to hang out because she doesn't
it's
want
so
him.
It's so sad.
It's so sad. This is when she says, like, hey, we're starting to fight a lot because they are. She's very tense with him because he's sort of getting, you know, a lot of, before the date even happens, he's getting a lot of attention for the fact that he's getting to go on a date with this Amanda Jones.
But it is like, we need a scene of him walking down the hall of this high school and getting like high fives and stuff, like where he's suddenly cool or something. But it's treated like, did you hear this? I don't think this is really happening. Yeah. This is weird. This is creepy. Like, that's how it's treated by everybody in the school.
But then it becomes more official when he gets a ride home, right, from the friend.
Right.
Like you said, they get a ride home. Because then the sister
her friend
even
from Code of Silence is like, whoa, oh, didn't you have something? Because she keeps telling her to break the date with him for some reason. And she even at one point is like, isn't there something you wanted to talk to him about? And he's in the back going, oh, did you want to break our date? And she's like, well, if you want to break it, I understand. He's like, no, I've been looking forward to this my entire life.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm all in.
Have you seen the giant life-size portrait of you I've made? Right. And the dozens of sketches in my sketchbook that are just of your face?
I come into school early every day to paint a giant picture of you. One time your ex-boyfriend walked in. It was kind of scary. I thought he was going to see it, but he didn't. I backed up into a corner like a weirdo and I talked to him.
And then he invited me to a party. That's another weird.
Everything about, even the scene where Watts freaks out, or not freaks out, but cries and is like, I don't want to see you. We shouldn't see each other anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's there. He's at this club because he's like, oh, yeah, Amanda said she was going to show up here.
Oh, right.
And Watts is like, oh, she's not showing up here, blah, blah, blah. And that goes nowhere. We never found out if she showed up.
Did she stand
we never
him
found
up?
Out
right.
why he thought she was showing up there.
Yeah, she literally, it's an underground club they go to. And it seems like it's like Because we see Watts walk in there, and she doesn't, I don't think, expect to see him in there.
It's like he's never been there before, and he's there to meet Amanda Jones, but...
That Amanda Jones never...
Yeah, this scene seems tacked on or something.
I agree. Like
it's really weird, because then I thought, wait, is this their date? Are they going to this underground punk club?
No. I did decide that the movie shouldn't be called... Like, they never even play that song, Some Kind of Wonderful. It should be called Amanda Jones.
It should be called Amanda Jones. Yes! Why? Some Kind of Wonderful? I don't... I didn't even think about the fact that they don't play the song. Wow.
No.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And what is the wonderful part? Is it the Watts and Keith relationship? Is it the fact that Amanda can finally be on her own and claim her independence? Is it the fact that... I don't know. Those are so expensive, those diamonds earrings. I'm having a hard time now as I'm absorbing the how much.
Couldn't even imagine.
No.
And I love how she's like, oh, yeah, these diamond earrings. She's like, those earrings are great. She's like, yeah, Shay let me borrow them. I'm like, why'd you say that? Like, why do you just say that? Like, because that's why half the time I'm like, okay, she's kind of into him. They come from the same sort of neighborhood. And she's like, well, you know, he probably knows they're not mine. I'm going to fess up. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be modest around this guy.
Right.
But you don't want to go out with him. It's such a strange dynamic.
Well, that's why at the end of the movie, she decides to spend some time alone so she could figure herself out.
I kind of wanted at the
end of
this movie for the three of them to be like, we all live in the same neighborhood. Let's just be friends. We're starting a crew now. This is just the three of us. Let's do it.
That would be fun. Yeah. That would be fun. Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, we talked about the fight that Amanda has when her ex-boyfriend comes into the gym and then has to get kicked out because he doesn't want to break up. He thinks it's stupid.
I like when the gym teacher's yelling at him, he's like, hold on a second. I'm trying to have a conversation here. I mean, I know you're 25 years old, but you're still playing a high school student. Come on.
He tells her, there's nothing here that I haven't seen before. Because he's in the ladies' locker room, right? Yeah. There's nothing here I haven't seen before.
It's funny because these lines, I don't think are played for laughs in this movie. Like, I think there are certain scenes where it's supposed to be very serious, but I was like, that's a funny line. Like, why is it not getting the reaction, or why doesn't it feel like it's played for laughs? I don't know. There were times where I watched this and I was like, oh, yeah, this was written by John Hughes because it's smart and it's clever. But most of the time I went, now this doesn't seem like something written by John Hughes. This seems like something written by somebody who's just watched a lot of these movies and was like,
yes,
I can do that.
I agree. That does have that sense of it. I do like it, though. So the sister, his sister that we like, the teenage one, not Cameron, she is kind of taking advantage of the situation because she says that because her brother's now going to date this real popular girl, it kind of elevates her to this popular status just by them dating. And so she's with her friends at the mall and she tells them, I was hanging with you fun guys to cool you guys out.
Yes. I did enjoy that because three of her friends are like, this is amazing. I can't believe you're hanging out with all these cool kids. And her one friend's like, this is a bunch of bullshit. If you're so great, there they are. Why aren't you hanging out with them now? And I like how she just sidles up next to Harley or Hardy or whatever his name is. And it comes,
Harley.
Not that it comes to nothing, because she overhears their brilliant plan, which is, he's going to show up at this party, then we're going to beat him up. Brilliant. You guys are genius.
That's how you'll win her back.
That's how you win your girlfriend.
Yeah.
I have huge problems with this plan. Like, I wish it was more thought out or more clever.
And
or
why
something.
Do they want to beat him up? Why do they want to beat him up? And then, too, when it comes to it, because Hardy is not really a tough guy. So even when the fight comes to happen, he's having other people he's going, you guys go buy them.
I do like that.
No, I can't. I can't fight him right now. I'm hosting a party with tears in my eyes because I'm very emotional.
With tears in my eyes because some skinheads show up. And the way I react is, my parents are coming home soon.
Yeah, my parents are going to be home soon.
It's so good.
All right, let's just forget this whole mess started. And it's just
And fun. I was a little upset because then Elias Codius is like, I think we're going to hang out. and we're going to turn this party
turn up.
And I was
party.
Like, I love how he keeps looking at the girl from Code of Silence. He's like, hey, hey, that girl's into you. That girl's really into you. That creepo weird guy.
She's making eyes with the one guy.
Sunglasses.
Yeah.
And he takes them off. And he looks even more bizarre without them on.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I was like, no, Keith, no, stay at this party. I want to see what happens. I want to see the rest of this party.
I want us to focus
it's
gonna
be
on this
so
party.
Great.
Yeah.
But they have to leave, of course, and end the movie.
Well, the magic that needed to happen at the party
so
happened.
I think we can kind of speed through and kind of get to the end of this movie, which
no,
is like
we've already
yeah,
have.
Like we already have, yeah. Which is the date. And the whole idea of this date is he, at one point, his sister overhears that these dudes are going to beat him up. So his sister tells him this. His sister's like...
Very sweetly. It's a very sweet moment between the
she's
sister
like,
and he,
it's
yeah.
all a joke. And she's like, yeah. Amanda Jones, she's in on it too. She's going to take
yes.
you to this guy's party.
That's right.
And he's going to beat you up and humiliate you. And I wanted to let you know. And he's like, you know what? I'm still going to go through with it because I'm a dumb, dumb, dumb idiot.
Well, he claims he's got some point to prove, which I guess in some ways... He does, because in the end he does make that guy Hardy look bad. But really, in the end, it's not even like
it works
everybody's
out
like,
for
yeah,
him.
Yeah,
no, yeah.
But
it's not like he doesn't really have a point to prove because he proves nothing.
He's not like vindicated. It, yeah.
Right. If he did not have Elias Koteas show up, that would have gone very bad. And he would have been beat up by a couple of nobodies. Not even the guy that he's after would beat him up. And that would have been the end. Because, oddly enough, I think he's just like, well, this is still a chance to go out with Amanda. Like, even if this is just a joke,
so sad. Uh-huh.
I can still do this. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make her feel like trash by spending my life savings
on the
earrings.
Whole night, on the earrings, and
the
then they
caviar.
Go out to this fancy dinner. Yep.
Because the whole thing's so confusing. Because he's like, oh, look at that, it's caviar. Aren't you rich morons so into caviar? And then suddenly, hamburgers show up, and he winks like, eh, you thought I was just tricking you. I'm like, what is happening on this date right now?
And then they're toasting and enjoying their date, and there's sad Watts watching from the window because she's driving him around.
And also, they put down platters, and they reveal hamburgers, and I'm like, did he order ahead? Leah Thompson has no idea that a hamburger's going to show up. This is so weird. And you're right, because the girl that has a crush on him, his best friend Watts, agrees to chauffeur them around. She dresses up. She wears the whole getup.
Little cap and everything.
Opens the car door for... And I love... Oh, my God. I love it.
Oh, when she's playing poker with the
valet
drivers?
That was kind of funny, too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Poker with the belly guys, or craps, or whatever. Dice, something.
I like it
when she opens the door and Leah Thompson gets out, and she's like, you break his heart, and I'll break your face.
Oh, yeah.
And Leah Thompson, literally, I thought this was her best performance of the movie, because she looks like, I don't know what the hell is going on right now.
Yeah.
She is alarmed. She has this look on her face like... Is this a joke on me? Like, is all of this?
Because she even says, because when they come pick her up and she's like, do you always take your dates out with another woman or another girl? And he's like, yeah, I got to have a backup. And she's like, because he's kind of like, he's a little bit salty, but he's not a salty guy. So every time he tries to be salty to her, he follows it up with something really sweet.
He brings Watts food from the restaurant. He's like, here you go. It's a little doggy bag and everything. And she's so pissed. And this whole thing is just so bizarre. But this is when they then go to art museum, which is closed down, but they have backstage access to this thing.
Yeah, they do.
He
reveals
the very creepy painting of her.
And not flattering.
I mean, it's one thing, and I'm not excusing him, you know, sketching her quickly while they're in library, but it's another thing to work on a painting for weeks.
A huge
life-size painting of her.
Of her leaning on like a graffiti wall.
Yeah.
Just looking sad.
It's like she's stepping out of a back alley or something. It is a weird image. And the look on her face is not of terror when she sees this.
No. She's like, I guess because someone's taking a sincere interest in her. And as we come to find out, her boyfriend and her friends have never really cared about her. right?
I like to think that her Code of Silence friend did end up getting together with some thug, and they did end up having...
And then changed her ways a little.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's possible. I'm not gonna deny it. Oh, what about when they go in to the art museum?
Mm-hmm.
And they're first walking around. She was like, oh, no one's here. This is crazy. And he shushes her, and he says, it gets real creepy before he shows her, reveals the photo. And he says, this place is my church.
Oh, it's not good.
And then he takes her to the giant painting of her. This is when Leah Thompson gets emotional about her hate, how she hates the way she is, and she has this hatred that builds. It's all about her hatred and her hate. But then they kiss, and of course Watts watches.
They're at what, the Hollywood Bowl, or where are they?
Yes, they're at the Hollywood Bowl, which is very, and that's
can
they
you
must
just
have private
wander
access.
In there? No. Can you just walk off the street and sit on the stage?
Maybe this was the same security guard. I don't know.
That guy's a busy security. So it's not attached to an art museum. Is what you're saying? Because it is weird. Because she's just up in the bleachers watching them make out, and I'm like, what are you doing?
What are you doing to yourself? What are you doing to yourself? She doesn't want him to go. And actually, neither does Amanda. They don't want him to go to the party. Like, we don't have to go. And he's like, no, I still have a point to prove. Let's go to this big party. It's a rager.
There's one line that we skipped over when she comes out of her house. And she's like, oh, where'd you get this car? And he's like, oh, I borrowed it. And he says, your ass was too precious for vinyl?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What are you
and
doing?
She,
this is how you start this date.
And again, I think he's trying to be a little salty.
Right, I think so too, but it doesn't work.
But it doesn't work.
It's not working at all. Mm-hmm. It just comes off as a weird, awkward, trying to be funny line. Because I think that's how she takes it.
But she plays it. Yeah, she laughs at it and is like, oh, you're probably right. But yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Their whole interactions are weird. That's why I'm glad in the end that they don't end up together. Because I'm like, I didn't even think you guys jived right. Like, it's clear that you don't belong with Leah Thompson. It's clear.
It's clear. But I don't know. It's a movie. Like, it's movie romance where I'm like, yeah, he could probably end up with Leah Thompson. They seem fine together. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He could end up with Watts. They seem fine together. Like, I don't know. It didn't seem that awkward to me. I was just confused as to what both of them were doing on this date. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who was trying to be, like you said, salty, who was being sincere. Was it a joke? Like, at
well,
no
they come
point
to
did
a
I understand
sincerity.
This. Yeah.
That's by the end. They've had a real kind of heart-to-heart. She's at least opened up to him about, you know, her feelings that she's probably never expressed.
Yeah.
And
when
this
gives her the earrings, he's like, these cost me every cent I earned. I'm like, why are you saying that? Like,
you're creeping her out, dude.
You just painted a life-size portrait of her and said you spent your entire savings on these earrings. What are you hoping to get out of this? Are you just trying to make her feel like garbage? Because you're taking this way too far.
If she was smart, she would go after Watts. She'd be like, listen, men are complicated.
Right.
My ex-boyfriend's jerk, and this guy's also an obsessive weirdo. I think ladies are where it's at.
That's, you know what? And not even go after her. But at the end of this movie, she should have walked up to her and been like, he's all yours, but watch out for this creep because he's real fucking scary.
Watts would have been like, I know that's what I like about him.
I'm into that. Don't you see my getup? Don't you see what I'm into?
Didn't you see my boy boxers?
Mm-hmm. Of course you saw my giant baggy boy boxers that I've apparently been tucking into jeans I'm wearing. I don't know.
Complicated.
Oh, my God. So they arrive at this party, and it's the big conclusion to the movie. And as we said before, Hardy is now dating China Phillips for some reason. And he instructs his goon squad to take him outside and kick the shit out of him.
But then our friend Keith has his own goon squad that shows up.
Yeah.
One minute they're letting him into museums. Next minute they're banding together as a bunch of goons ready to kick ass. And he says, oh, it's so great when he comes in that, what's the actor's name again? I'm not going to try to pronounce
it. Elias Koteas.
Elias Koteas.
Yeah.
What a great name, actually.
Great name.
Really?
And he's
great
so great.
Name.
Even now, anything I see him in, I'm like, okay, this is going to be pretty good.
He was in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. He was really good in it, too.
Yes, of course. I don't know why that's so funny. Like, I was just talking.
I was
literally just talking to my kids about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles like an hour ago, and I don't know why. Because I was going
you
through
should
their,
watch the movie.
I was going through their names, and my daughter was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, yeah, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were named after Italian artists and inventors. She's like,
and they
what
like to eat pizza in the sewage with a giant rat.
I'm explaining the backstory of this, and I'm realizing it's crazy. It's
three little girls are like, why are we watching a movie about turtles in a sewer, Dad? And what, they do karate? What?
And then I showed them the theme song, and when they said
man,
that Michelangelo is a
tutorial.
Party dude, they lost it. They thought it was hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I should watch
Good Times at your house.
It really
you should.
Is. No, those movies are terrible. This one's
children,
awful.
Let me regale you. No, the original one? The original one
don't
is
you,
really
don't
good.
You, don't you
now,
try and
just
tell
say
me.
It.
I hope that is your recommendation at the end of it.
So once the bullies come and they then our jerk guy Hardy is kind of chicken enough.
Yes, he's crying like you say. He looks like he's about to cry the whole time.
But now Keith can kind of make his statement at him. He doesn't go to hit him. He doesn't do anything like that. He just walks up to him and is like, you know what? I think the problem is you. And some he does. It's not even like a cool like.
No,
you've been doing this to me for years and blah blah blah. He's just like. I don't got to do anything because you've done it to yourself.
It's not even a, like, make me. I don't make trash. I burn it. Like, fine. Dude,
it's
have
not
a stupid
any kind
line.
Of a burn. Yeah.
It's
kind of
like, aren't you going to hit him? No. He did this to himself. I'm
yeah.
Like, what are you? What? Okay.
What?
All right.
What does that even mean? And then Leah Thompson is like, that's it? And then she goes up to him and slaps him across the face
twice. It's so great. Because one slap is great, but she comes back and she's like, bam, again.
Mm-hmm. Well, he is really jerky to her. Like originally, so it's not even like the guys that are, so when they get to the party before the bullies get there and his thugs are trying to take Keith outside, his thugs don't even look that tough or intimidating or anything. And
they're wearing coats. Come on.
Yes. And her boyfriend's being a jerk. And he's like, all right, beg me back. The only thing that'll make me not beat him up is if you beg me back. And so I get it. I feel her pain when she wants to slap him because I wanted to slap him too. But so now they leave and they're leaving the party and they're so giddy because, we did it. Did you see his face? Oh, what about when she does slap him and the Eric Stoltz and the bully guy, like they literally like open mouth. They're like, oh my God. It's so ridiculous.
It reminds me of, do you remember the Saturday Night Live skit where it was Chris Farley and Adam Sandler, and it was a commercial for a beer called Schmitz Gay.
Oh,
and
yes!
And they, did that thing where, like, these these shirtless dudes showed up, and they open their mouths, and he flips up his sunglasses. Like, it was a look like that. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they had these, like, open mouth, after she slaps him. But then, anyway, so then they leave the party, and they're all like, we did it. Did you see his face? Yeah. Did you see that? And again, here's our sad little...
Watts is crying down by this car, and he says to her, he's like, man, you should have seen what happened. She's like, I saw it from here. And I'm like, you're 50 yards away, down on the street.
And he, like, whispered something to him. What did you see?
Right? You didn't see any of this. You were sobbing uncontrollably in a car as you ate I don't know what out of a doggy bag.
The leftover burger. But then this moment happens, though. When he walks out and sees Sad Watts, he gets this flashback to when he had his makeout lesson with her. That's all he needed.
He just needed
to see her sad and vulnerable enough to be like, oh, wait, I do love her.
A second.
And then
she is a girl.
And yeah, exactly. And Leah Thompson or Amanda takes this all in real quick. She like analyzes the situation and is like, wait a minute. They're really the ones in love and I should be alone.
Tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, but she does. Watts makes nice and shakes her hand and says, "Sorry for judging you," is what she says to Amanda. Right. And Amanda just says, "Yeah, thanks." Or no, she might say, "Sorry for judging you."
She smiles and is like, "Yeah, yes, I'm Leah Thompson. I was in Space Camp."
So, yeah, exactly. So she and she was a Wolverine. So then she.
Oh my god. Oh man.
Let we not forget.
Anyway, whatever. Yeah, past episode Red Dawn, everybody check it out because apparently we don't remember.
Clearly we exactly. We watch it. You don't know.
We remember hilariousness of that movie.
Any butt jokes, we're all over
Avenge
them.
But other than
that, it was so good. The dad was so intense.
Well, they just gave them those feral girls when he was like, "I don't know, we found these girls. I've been keeping them in the basement. They should go with you guys."
When C. Thomas Howell drinks that deer's blood and transforms his whole life, I still think about that scene, and I'm still like, wow.
Wow, he went from 0 to 100. He just drank deer's blood. He's like, "I need to murder everyone, and I'm going to try and shoot at helicopters now? This is great." Oh, right. Man.
We're all so right. close to the end of this movie, and we totally derailed. And
I know.
All right. All right. So when Sad Watts walks away, runs away, of course, he goes chasing after her, gives her the diamond earrings, like you said. It's kind of lame. Like, you want her to be super like, lame. I don't need the diamond, whatever. And then it ends. They're together.
It really does end.
Some kind of wonderful. It wasn't very wonderful for me.
Oh, we get an Irish folk version of I Can't Help Falling in Love with You at the end of this movie, which is awful. Just awful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was Some Kind of Wonderful, our 1987 film. Have we seen Eric Stoltz before? Because I think we've seen him.
I don't think we have.
This is our first Stoltzies. Well,
yeah.
I'll be prepared for more. I know he's in Mask. And he is in Mask. Like that boy.
He's in The Fly 2.
Ooh.
But
The Fly 1's Goldblum, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, we have to do The Fly 1 before we do The Fly 2, of course. How will we know what's happening?
We've got to be updated.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's...
I think we kind of talked about it. I think we kind of really... We really did, like more so than most other movies that we talk about, we really did take, like, the first half of this and really dug into it and talked about what we thought worked and what didn't. Mm-hmm. But overall, would you recommend this movie, I guess, is the question.
No.
We ask. Okay.
No, I think there's better of this. Like you said, the formula, like Say Anything is the classic version of this, or Reality Bites is an 80s, but this type of movie, this has been done before and it's been done better, I think. There was aspects of it that I liked. And it's fine that I saw it, but it's not like it changed my life for seeing it. Or I'm like, I can't believe I missed that one in the 80s. I'm like, oh, yeah, Eric Stoltz is creepy. That's why I didn't see it. What about you?
I probably would recommend it, honestly.
You would?
Yeah, I think I had more fun watching this than you did, I think.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not great, but I guess it was better than I thought it would be. And I think it was because... parts of it were goofy. Like, I don't mind in a movie. Sometimes I like a movie where I'm watching it going, what's happening? Like, how are these characters aren't even interacting like normal human beings would. And sometimes that's kind of fun.
You're looking for that, yeah.
For how bad it is or how bad the writing is or something. It just didn't click. Like, the performances and the writing did not go together.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the characters at times thought they were in a comedy, and at times they thought they were in a drama, and I just don't feel like it all matched up to a movie that makes a whole lot of sense, but also I feel like that's kind of the charm of this movie.
So you'd say go ahead and watch it, all right.
Yeah,
all
yeah, right. I would. I'll give you my recommendation first. My recommendation is another 80s movie.
Oh, I try to keep away from that. I have to tell
no,
you, I try
I
to
too.
Get cognizant.
Yeah.
Don't recommend another 80s movie, especially because we might watch it. But I'm anxious to
right,
hear what
right.
is your 80s movie.
I have to recommend this, though, because it's a movie called My Chauffeur.
Oh.
And it stars Deborah Foreman. Now, we saw Deborah Foreman. She was Nick Cage's love interest in...
Oh.
Why can't I think of the name of that movie now? Valley Girl.
Valley Girl. I was going to say something about the beach. No, the valley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was also the female lead in Waxwork, too.
Ooh.
So... but she plays a girl, I think she's like a dishwasher at the start of this movie, but she gets a job. She gets a job to drive somebody around.
Mm-hmm.
And then she basically becomes a female limo driver in like a company full of men. So there's some interesting sexism there, and it's kind of fun to sort of see that. But it also just then turns into a romantic comedy because, of course, she drives around this rich guy and... He's kind of a jerk, but then he's into her.
And
it's sort of a fun, lesser scene movie from the 80s that is kind of formulaic, but the people in it are really good. So that's my recommendation.
I think I would enjoy that more than this. Well,
hey, don't say anything you're going to regret later when we watch this.
Fair enough. So I have a recommendation that unfortunately I've seen this movie a while ago. So the details, I remembered the movie and then I didn't remember the details as well because it's an indie kind of artsy fartsy movie. So there was, once I read about it online, I was like, oh yeah, then that happened too. But it's called Me and You and Everyone We Know. It's a Miranda July movie. She wrote it and directed it. And she is a cab driver. She drives elder cab, so she drives old people around. And she's also an artist, and she recreates her reality through her art. And she eventually meets this guy who's a used shoe salesman, and he has two sons. And his two sons, that you get into a little bit about their life, like the teenage son. There's a lot of different components to the movie, but essentially it's neat because what she's trying to express in this movie is, because it's all these characters just kind of run on impulse. They don't think twice. They kind of do what they're going to do, say what they're going to feel, and just do it. And it's a quirky kind of fun movie. It's neat. I think it was in 2000, maybe 10.
I've heard of it. I've heard of the title. I've never seen it.
It's fun. I would recommend it. It's funny. Yeah.
I have to say, our recommendations, pretty good this time.
Yeah.
In that they tie in so perfectly. They're actually two movies, which I'm going to say it's been about 5 months since that's actually happened. We did it. We're back on track. All right. So, everybody, if you don't know this, there is a holiday that we celebrate on this podcast, and this will be the third year of Sly's Giving.
Our third? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Third year. We had Cobra. We had Rhinestone.
My favorite.
And now, interestingly enough, I had another one in mind, but, and I think I spoiled this for listeners already, in December, we're going to do a Billy D'December. Billy D. Williams movies. So this movie is straddling the line between Sly's Giving and Billy D'December because we're going to talk about a movie from 1981 called Nighthawks.
Ooh!
Where Sly Stallone and Billy D. Williams play police officer partners.
Ah, that gives a hearty high five from me. I love it. It sounds like a good
crime one. Crime thriller. So we're going to
get
into
early
80s. Sly. Early 80s. Billy D.
This is going to be sloppy. I'm excited.
Hey, it probably will be.
Yep.
I can't say if Sly will sing, if he will play piano.
Aww.
Who knows what might happen?
Mm.
Is he going to cut pizza with a pair of scissors? Maybe. God damn it.
There's only so much he could do without Dolly. I'm just saying.
I'm kind of scared. I know at some point we're going to run out of Sly movies from the 80s, and I'm kind of afraid of that day.
No. Don't fear it. Just listen.
There's a lot.
There's enough to sustain us for a bit.
Yeah.
It's not
like the Jean-Claude Van Damme thing where we have like two left, and I'm really, really trying
to
put those off.
Stretch them out. Oh, I have a soft spot in my heart for that Jean-Claude.
You sure do. I know.
You sure do. Yeah, man. Well,
Anyway, everybody, check us out on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our last episode was a listener-suggested episode.
Oh, was it good? Yeah.
So if you listen to our Amazon Women on the Moon episode, that was suggested by a listener who donated on Patreon at a certain level. And if you do that once a year, you get like a month. We give you a month, and you get to pick a movie, and we will talk about that movie that month. That's a weird
there's,
way to end
that. There's that.
And you stumble through that. But that's at patreon.com/goodtimesgreatmovies. And right around the corner, we have a December 1st episode coming up.
Mm-hmm. Little bonus.
Possibly. It's a Christmas movie with, who's in that? Tell me. Is it Webster? Is it Webster?
Or no,
is
it's not Webster.
It's, who's in it?
It's the Different Strokes kid, isn't it? I don't know. We should know.
Gary Coleman? His name is Gary Coleman. I think it's Gary Coleman.
You're going to have to edit and this out. Mr. This is T. so sloppy.
I think it's...
This
I think
is the most anticlimactic. Get ready. That's like...
Get ready. Webster? Nope. Somebody else. Gary Coleman and Mr. T.
I don't think it's Gary Coleman.
Webster and Mr. T. You know what? I'm going to look it up, and then I'll use whichever one of those is appropriate then, and I'll put that in the episode.
All right, fair enough. But oh, wait, it's Joey special. Lawrence and Mr. T.
No. Joey Lawrence and Matthew Lawrence and the other Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's three of them.
There's three of them. Hey, they worked on Cars in that show. Do you remember that show that they had?
Oh, yeah.
Brotherly Love?
I do.
I should not know the name.
Yeah,
God
you
damn
do.
It, Jamie. I know way too much about Joey Lawrence. That wasn't me showing off. That was there.
That's what
that was
the
in the front
is,
of my brain.
Yeah, I know.
I
that
couldn't
came
think
a little
of Gary
too
Coleman's
quickly.
Name.
That all came
Brotherly
a little
Love.
Too quickly. Yeah. You can't
right
remember
there.
Who's which Wolverine survived. Neither can I. But at least I'm not pulling facts out about the Lawrence brothers. Yes, buddy.
Oh my God. Wow. Anyway, so we'll talk to everybody in 2 weeks when we talk about Nighthawks. So watch it, find it, wherever you can find it. And until then, have a great 2 weeks.
Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Wise men say.
I don't see nothing but chicken shit.
Shutting off that loud heat. Shutting that heat cause it's so what so loud? That heater so loud. Your heat is so loud. How'd your heat get so loud?
Don't you know? Things will change. Oh, it's, oh my God. I got that. Or I have, hey, Santa. Hey, Santa.
Oh, no. Don't
Santa.
Do that one. Don't
no,
do that
okay.
One. No.
I mean, it's not quite Christmas yet. All right.